The question was asked, we find some sources discuss studying Kabbalah when one doesn't understand what one is studying. And there are sources that discuss that that has benefits. Well, what does that mean? How do we apply that practically? So I would like to maybe discuss some background to the question and then work our way to the at least part of the answer. Sayna, is that okay? I'm saying let's get a broader understanding. Everyone agrees that every Jew has a mitzvah to learn Torah. And every Jew's mitzvah to learn Torah begins with the responsibility to know what my responsibilities are. I need to know how to put on tefillin. I need to know how to wear tzitzit. I need to know how to say Birkat HaMazon. I have biblical mitzvot. You know, yesterday we hired a worker, and I asked him, do you prefer to be paid by a bank transfer or cash at the end of the day? So he said, cash. I said, I don't have cash in the house, but I'll be in the city. I'll come back. I'll go to an ATM machine. I'll pay you by the end of the day. I was on the bus, and I saw that as I was approaching our town, the sun was setting. So I called our eldest son, and I asked him, I said, can you go to so-and-so who was working in our house today, bring him 20 shekel, and tell him that I'm coming back to town in the next hour or two. I'll be there, and I'll give him the remaining money. At this way, we accomplished that I started paying him on the day of his labor. It says you should pay a person. If a person was a day worker, pay him that day. If he's a night worker, pay him that night. So I wasn't sure if I'd make it back to the yeshuv before sunset. I ended up paying him when it was still day. But I couldn't know. As I saw the sun shifting in the sky and the bus at its pace, I wasn't sure if I'd make it. So a person can hire workers his whole life and not realize that he has a biblical mitzvah to pay them on time. When I paid him, he was like smiling from ear to ear. I said, how many biblical mitzvot do we do in a day? I'm saying, you could probably count them on two hands. You put on tefillin, you bench, you bless on learning Torah. What other biblical mitzvot do you do in a day? Maybe you give some charity, maybe you help someone. You say Shema, you put on tzitzit. Okay, we're up to seven. Okay? How many biblical mitzvot do we get to do in a day? So, what? Brit Milah. I don't know. You have it on you. I don't know if you're actually doing anything. So you might be right. There's room to say the way you said. Yes, I'm not precluding that. You might be right.
You're not wearing Shabbat.
Okay. You're not killing, right? But that's only a mitzvah, it would seem, if you have the urge to kill someone. And then you say, no, there's a mitzvah, I won't do it. But at any rate, it seems clear that our obligation of learning Torah begins with the obligation of understanding our responsibilities. So there's an obligation to learn all of the Tanakh. There's an obligation to learn all of the Shas. There's an obligation to learn all of the Shulchan Aruch. And that's basic. That's without becoming a Talmid Chacham, without being a learned rabbi. Everyone has to cover. You have to know. I mean, you have to know basic Jewish philosophy. You have to know all of the Shas. You have to know all of the Torah. That's basic. And no one argues with that. That's a given. That's what's, in our terminology, we would call the bread and butter, or the bread. In Chazal's terminology, they called it Okay, Chazal called it the meat, the main course. So, Yemale Adam Kreiso Basar. A person fills himself from eating meat. You don't fill yourself from dessert. You don't fill yourself from cream pie and other things. That's dessert, a correct meal. You fill yourself from the main course. Everyone agrees that our prime time has to be invested in knowing that. That there's no question about. Then we come to something else. So if we open up the Shulchan Aruch, Ilchot Talmud Torah, so in the Shulchan Aruch, on the laws of learning Torah, in Yored Deya, you could look it up. It says Siman 240 or 242. It's somewhere around there. If you want to bring the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read it to you. You guys want to hear the text of the Shulchan Aruch? So the Ramah says, in the laws of learning Torah, the Ramah says, after you've mastered all of the Torah, and you know the Shas the way you should, and you know the Halacha the way you should, and you know everything you need to know, so then a person has room to think about starting to learn Kabbalah. So there is such a concept, even in the laws of learning Torah, of learning Kabbalah. In general, learning Kabbalah, learning the secrets of Torah, is an addition. It's not the main point of learning Torah. The main point, you have to know what to do. The most Kabbalistic concepts are based on the basic understanding of what am I supposed to do? You know, if you bring a person a chicken and you ask him, can you salt this for me? And the guy doesn't know how to salt the chicken, so he's not going to understand the Kabbalistic aspects of salting a chicken. And a person can read Kabbalah and get very excited about it, but in order to really understand what's going on, I need to have a very, very strong hold on the basic concepts of Torah. And that means understanding Shas and Tanakh the way I should. And so the Ashkenazi halachic opinions are very clear that a person has no business dealing with Kabbalah before he is a master of the written Torah and the oral Torah and the halachot. And Ramban writes it even more harshly, even though Ramban was Sephardi. Ramban says, if a person is going to learn my work and they're not yet on the level and with the tradition that they should be learning Kabbalah, they're going to think they understand and they won't, and they're going to think they're being holy and they're going to end up with pagan concepts. And so the Ramban says, I'm writing it down for those who understand the secrets of Torah, who are in the right place. But I'm warning you, the reader, that if you're not where you should be, and you don't have the tradition you should have, so you're going to misunderstand. And when you think you understand, that's the most dangerous. So that's the Ramban in his introduction to his commentary on Torah. There is an opinion, which is quoted by Sephardi Poskim, that has become more and more accepted. And I don't know traditionally what Sephardim did 200 years ago, 400 years ago, I don't know. But there is an opinion that says that reading, even if I don't understand, is meritorious. It is of value. It does something good for the soul. If a person would say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and you see a lot of Sephardim who will take some time during their day to read, like in the Chok LeYisrael, there's a section of Zohar that's quoted. Chok LeYisrael is a compilation of what every good Jew should be learning every day. And there is Zohar quoted there. So there is a Sephardi approach that says that Zohar is not like other works. When you read Zohar, it does good things for you. But that's like a person has to know to take that in proportion. Meaning, most of your day has to be spent learning Torah that you understand, that you can apply, etc.
There's also Mishnah and Gemara.
There's Mishnah, there's the majority of one's day has to be spent there. If one is of the tradition, if one is of the genealogy, one is a Sephardian, and one wants to do it, you can't say they're off. There is a basis for that opinion. It's not the Ashkenazi way. The Ashkenazi poskim were very against it. But the Sephardi poskim, there is such an opinion, and there are many people who do it, but a person has to remember it's like reading Tehillim. If you're going to read Tehillim, no one could say you're wasting your time. What are you doing reading Tehillim? There are times in your life where a person is sitting next to a relative that's very ill in a hospital, so it could be they're going to say Tehillim all day and all night, right? They're praying for the person to get well. But if a person says, I came to yeshiva and I spent an hour a day reading Tehillim, we tell them, you wasted your time. You came to yeshiva where you could learn and master Torah and grow in your understanding, understand tradition, understand our heritage, understand how to paskin, understand the halachot. You have so much you have to learn. You spent an hour a day reading Tehillim? Isn't that a pity? So you'll say, but isn't it a mitzvah to read Tehillim? Yeah, it's a mitzvah to read Tehillim. But an hour a day is a hefty amount of time when these years that you have here are priceless. When a person comes to Machon Meir, most people throughout their lives do not get a second opportunity to invest this amount of time and focus in self-development and growth, in understanding Torah and in growing in Torah. So if a person says, I'm Sfardi, or this is what, this helps me, makes me feel good, fine, no one says don't do that. Let's compare it to drinking a cup of tea. Okay, you say, a cup of tea calms me down, it's a beautiful way to start the day, it's a beautiful way to end the day. We say, fine. But if you walk around all day holding your cup of tea, you're missing out on life. If you tell me, I begin my day with a cup of tea, I end my day with a cup of tea, fine. You can take your 10, 15 minutes of, if that helps you, it makes you feel good, fine. Take your time holding your tea, sipping your tea, drinking your tea, fine. But don't spend your day drinking tea. Your day has to be productive, your day has to be active, your day has to be filled with growth, your day has to be filled with learning that you understand. So even Ashkenazi asks me the question, that's why when you ask me the question, I was thinking, I want to make sure I address it respectfully to all opinions here. If an Ashkenazi asks the questions, then the answer is you shouldn't be doing that. Your job is to learn Torah, and your job is to learn Shas, and your job is to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You have other things that are your responsibility. And if you're going to try reading Kabbalah, you're not going to get too much out of it. Why would you spend your time doing that? You're not even going to understand what you think you understand. I'll give you the smallest example. What is Sitra Achra? So of course everyone's going to volunteer. It's the other side. It's where evil comes from. It's pause. The Ribbon Shalom has no sides. The Ribbon Shalom is omnipresent. What does it mean, other side? How could there be a side?
Kind of.
Okay, so you see, kind of. So I'm going to use a term which can so easily become paganism. I'm saying to talk about, there's another force in the world. It's called Sitra Achra, the other side. What does that mean? Itaruta de Leila is a term that people use all the time that shows up in Zohar. Itaruta de Leila, Itaruta de Tata. Is it from an inspiration, an arousal from below, or an arousal from above? I'm sorry, isn't the Ribbon Shalom consistent and ever-present? What does that mean, an arousal from above? What does that mean? Hashem shifts, Hashem could shift. What does that mean? So if you understand that these concepts touch on the key concepts, the deepest concepts of Jewish philosophy, and the dangers in speaking about things that are so important without having a real clarity as to what we're saying, is that we can say things that are completely, completely off. And even if a person has someone tremendous teaching him, that doesn't mean a person is ready to, like it says in Halacha, you have to prepare yourself. You have to grow in all other Torah to be prepared for that. So again, if a Sfardi says, I'm going to spend some time doing this, no one could tell them they're wrong. The issue here is how much time. An Ashkenazi or someone that has no tradition, I would say, spend your time studying the things you understand. Spend your time studying the things that make you grow. That's where you should invest your time. But if a person tells me, this is my tradition, this is my heritage, this is the way, whatever, fine, I'm not arguing with it. I'm just saying, be very careful how much time you invest in it. And there's a wonderful drive that a Chozer B'Tshuva and a Ger have, and that is the drive to get to the top. Once a person has made this shift in their life, very often they have a drive to get to the top, and it's a wonderful drive. So long as a person remembers that the way to the top is a long path. It took Rabbi Akiva 40 years to get there. A common mistake that happens in Machon Meir is that people come here, and within the first month or two that they're here, they buy themselves a set of Zohar. We've had many students do that. Many students bought copies of the... They spent their savings. We had students here more than once that spent like 1,000 shekel buying a Zohar with commentary, and with the best intentions, because like I said, a person comes and he wants to get to the top. And it's good that a person wants to get to the top. A person just has to go there systematically. Make sure you know your Tanakh well. Make sure you know your Shas Mishnayos well. Make sure you know your Shas Gemara well. Make sure you know your Rambam well, your Shulchan Aruch well. Okay, work your way up. And when you have a great tradition and you understand all of Torah and Halakha the way you should, obviously that's also part of Halakha that a person has to master. Or as Yitzchak alluded to, it's Dvarim Gedolim. It's great things in Torah, yes. I think it's important that a person has a Rebbe. I think this whole journey
succeeds when a person works with a system. And in order to understand the system, a person needs to work with a Rebbe so that you build correctly. We had a student here that finished all of Shas. And boy, he really didn't know all of Shas. He had notes on all of Shas, but he didn't understand. There wasn't one track that he understood correctly. When we would talk to him, he did it all on his own. He took a Hebrew English. He wasn't Jewish when he did at least half of it. It was before his conversion. And I'm not contesting what he did. I'm just saying the fact that he didn't have a Rebbe, the fact that he didn't have who to talk to, the fact that he developed his own concepts out of a translation. He had no tradition. He didn't know. So it was pitiful. Here you have a person who's investing every day 16 to 18 hours. Every free minute he was in the Beis Medrash writing notes. He had notebooks full of notes. But he got it all wrong. It was painful to see. Here he is dedicating all his time, but he didn't know. And again, you have to commend the person for effort. But if you want to get somewhere, you have to understand the tradition. You need a Rebbe. And the same is true about the system. If you want to know how to invest your time, it's not just, how should I learn Rambam? It's, okay, what am I learning in Tanakh? What am I learning in Mishnah? What am I learning in Talmud? And based on that, what should I learn in Rambam? What I'm telling you now, it says in the Rambam. But until you get to that point in the Rambam, you're going to be searching. A person starts Rambam. So he reads the first chapter and he understands. And then he gets to the second chapter and he doesn't understand. And the third chapter he doesn't understand. And the fourth chapter he doesn't understand. So now if he has any brains at all, he says, I didn't get any of that. And then what does he do? So if he has a Rebbe, he goes over to his Rebbe and says, what am I supposed to do? I'm not getting it. I'm reading Rambam and I'm not getting it. And his Rebbe will tell him, go one more chapter or two more chapters and you're going to see Rambam says, everything you just read you weren't supposed to understand. That was all the deepest secrets of Torah. Why did Rambam start with that is a good question. But Rambam begins and he doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you in the intro. You read. And as you read, if you didn't give up yet, you read another chapter. And then you understand less. And then you read another chapter. And you understand even less. So why are you continuing? And only in the end does the Rambam say, by the way, everything I just told you was Maaseh Merkava, Maaseh Breshit, the deepest secrets of Torah. And when you'll be really, really smart and know everything, then you'll understand it. So I always thought that Rambam was teaching us one of two lessons or both. Either he was teaching us just because I wrote Rambam doesn't mean you don't need a Rebbe. Because otherwise you start reading Rambam, you won't understand what you're doing there, right? He only tells you then you weren't supposed to understand. Or else Rambam was teaching us that even when you don't understand, sometimes cover the ground and see if I see a broader picture, will I understand? Maybe it was obvious to Rambam that just because you didn't understand two chapters doesn't mean you stop the book. You continue another two, three, four, five chapters. And then you see, you run through it and see if it makes sense to continue or not. Maybe Rambam meant both. I'm not sure. But I'm just saying, coming back to the question about Kabbalah, the greatest benefit a person can have in their growth and in their learning is if they have a Rebbe who they work with. Because then they can plan a path, they can work out the bumps in the path, and they can have a serious growth. They can really get places. I would caution that when a person asks questions, very often there are a lot of people who are willing to give answers. The fact that someone is willing to guide you doesn't mean that they're proficient and should be guiding you. Especially when you come to yeshiva, there are many people who are willing to give you advice. I recommend you have a Gemara Rebbe, you have a Rebbe in the morning who you study with, a Rebbe who understands you, who you've been working with, talk to them. When people come to me and ask me how to set up their schedule, usually my first question is, what did your Gemara Rebbe say? Maybe this should be a three-way conversation or a two-way conversation, you and your Gemara Rebbe. You want to work with me? So I would recommend you take whatever I say and run it by your Gemara Rebbe. Or take what they say and then we'll think of it together. But I definitely think your Gemara Rebbe will hopefully have the best handle on what system to build with you. They're investing the time with you. They know where you're holding, where your strengths and weaknesses are. I would think that's the best way to grow.